Actually, I do have in my family, one of my daughters is a doctor, and other people in my family. And so they are for change and all. So I thought it gave them a good comeback on that. Excuse me.
No, that's okay.
I don't know what happened.
Well, but you can zing the likes of Tom Coburn all you want, but it has no effect because it in order to have an effect, there would have to be a conscience involved, and Repiglicans like Tom Coburn have no conscience whatsoever.
I agree. They got that family deal going on. Boy, that really opened my eyes knowing about that family.
And of course, the family was part and parcel of what was going on today in the Senate, Juanita.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, can I just say that I despise Ben Nelson? Did you hear his pouting after the rejection of his little Stupak bill, his little Stupak amendment?
Did I hear him what afterwards?
Yeah, his response.
No, what did he say?
They asked him, would he still support the bill? And he said, well, I may, but they're certainly making it difficult. You know, all those nasty women wanting to control their own bodies are just making it too difficult for a guy with a bad rug on his head to support the bill.
Well, those
I swear, those, every time I see him, I think a little bird's just going to fly out of that rug.
Well, those women, they got him. They gave him what for.
But, you know, Barbara Boxer had a very important question that those wing nuts, and just because you've got a D behind your name doesn't mean you're not a wing nut. You know,
right.
Ben Nelson is a wing nut.
We got a lot of them down here, believe me.
Yeah, she said, why are women being singled out here? It's so unfair. And Debbie Stabenow from Michigan said, let's keep federal policy in place that doesn't allow federal funding for abortion but respects the women of this country. But that wasn't enough for the wing nuts. I don't think anything is enough for the wingnuts. It's like Brian, you know, talking about our fascination with killing people in various forms of execution, you know, and putting people in prison. And maybe Brian hasn't been listening long enough to maybe I haven't mentioned it in a while, but, you know, there's something that undergirds this nation, and it is a punishment fetish, Juanita. And that punishment fetish gets manifested in the way we run our prisons, and it also gets manifested in the way that we think about women's health care in this country. Because there are a bunch of pasty-faced, doughy old white men who, for some reason or another, either resent or are jealous of or some emotion that I'm not fully cognizant of, women just because they're women.
I think a lot of it is a hatred of women.
Yeah, plain old-fashioned misogyny, sure.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Because I've been the subject of quite a bit of that, and I don't know why, but I guess I look like victim or something. I don't know. You know, hey, we can do what we want to.
Yeah, just kind of walking. You feel like you're walking around with a big cosmic kick me sign on your back.
Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to call about that, and I wanted to thank Ryan. I mean, he really keeps us up with a lot of history and interesting information.
He does indeed. Brian stays informed, and I love hearing from him.
Yeah, and he sounds like a real good, neat guy.
Well, Juanita, I hate to cut it short, but I've got one more call I want to try to get to if it's not already turned into a busy signal.
You know about Inhofe that's going over to the...
Over to Copenhagen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to go when Osama went.
Yeah.
To be there at the same time, but Osama's changed plans.
Obama. Yeah, I do it too.
Okay,
yeah.
Good night.
All right, take care, Juanita.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Jim Inhofe, crazier than a sprayed roach, no doubt about it. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
This is Bob in Boston.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Not bad. I just want to call. This is a fast call.
Okay.
This weekend, I found out that we're going to try to release Medicare to people 55 years old to 64.
Right.
And, you know, at first I thought it was a great thing. And then it hit me. This is another break to the insurance company. Because in what age group do people most use the doctors and hospital services?
Oh, sure, as they get older.
Right. And so, therefore, what's happening is these people are now being transferred over to the government. All right. Now, they're going to make people pay for rates, if, I mean, if they can afford it, but how much are they going to make these rates? Because they're going to be drawing from a pool of sick people. There aren't going to be any people who don't use the system that are paying into it.
That's very true. That's very true, Bob.
So if you want to destroy the Medicare system, there you go.
Unless, of course, you go all the way and do, you know, H.R. 676-style Medicare for all.
Right. And they're not doing that.
And that puts healthy people into the pool and less healthy people into the pool. But you can figure it out, Bob. I can figure it out. The horn, everybody listening to the horns got it.
Yeah.
But it baffles Ben Nelson.
Right. I mean, what are these? And not only that, but the thing that gets me is they put this out as a tease. They're using the Medicare system as a tease. I mean, how bad can it be?
I hadn't thought of it in that way, but you're absolutely right, Bob. You are.
It's a tease. They're trying to get all the votes. You know, they're trying to appease the progressives and get them to sign on without a public, you know, option.
And you know, I've seen that referenced in the reporting about people saying, and I think it was maybe it was Ben Nelson said, well, you know, they're just trying to come up with something they can take back to throw to their left wing base.
Right, and that's exactly what they do. They're throwing us a bone. And hoping that you know, they'll all sign on. And what's going to end up is one age group is going to get a little bit of something, and the insurance companies are going to make all like bandits because they don't have to pay any more for that age group that's gone. So again, the insurance companies, it's a win-win.
And you know, right. Well, it's right in line with the business we were talking about with Aetna, isn't it? You know, you make more money by dumping more clients.
That's exactly why I just got this phone call, because when you started talking about Aetna, that brought this all to mind.
Golly, Ned.
Yeah, basically, that's all I wanted to say. I mean, was that part there, bringing that idea up, that we're, no matter how we're looking at it, we're getting screwed.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah.
Poor us. Because, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should just strap down every member of the Senate and have them all have an identical tattoo, Bob, of that line from Upton Sinclair, you know, It is very difficult to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
There's an easier way. The easier way is the election coming up in 2010. So all you got to do is look for three little letters after their name, INC, for incumbent.
Yeah.
Vote for somebody else. Just anybody else. Doesn't matter who. Just vote for somebody else and throw them out, and that'll send them a message.
Is that a little risky, Bob?
Yeah, it is. But at this point here,
I mean, because given the makeup of the Senate right now, what that means in the majority of the country is that you're going to be throwing the bums out in favor of somebody who's even crazy, even more corporate than what they are.
Well, I'll weigh it against what we have already.
I know.
That's the whole thing. You got to weigh it. We're making it a little bit worse, with the possibility of it getting a lot better. Maybe be worth it.
If we stick to our guns, 6 years later.
Right. Well, actually not 6 years later, because what's the next election? 2012. 2 years later.
Right. Yeah, sure.
All right. So, I mean, we're only talking 2 years here where you can send a message and then fix the message in two more years. So, I mean, I've always been a progressive. I've always voted Democrat. All right. But now I'm starting to really think about it because of the point that these are no longer Democrats.
You know what? I would give anything if Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi could just hear what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
They desperately need to, Bob. But they live in a, they they're all bubble people there. You're right. They absolutely are.
If things are going to change, we have to change them. And sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. And sometimes you have to help them get a little worse. And that's the way I look at it. I mean, it's a lousy philosophy.
Well, you know, you're talking about the theory of inoculation, aren't you?
Yep.
You know, where you introduce a little bit of poison to stave a little bit of disease to stave off a whole lot more.
Right.
Well, Bob, good hearing from you. I don't hear from you near enough, but
same here. And yesterday was great. I loved the rally.
Well, thank you so much. It was a heck of a thing to be at, and the reverberations. You know, you provided me that link to the L.A. Times story. It got around.
Oh, that's good.
And, the next question is, how do we follow up on it? And that discussion is already taking place.
Yep. Plus, it was great in the chat room yesterday with everybody there.
I wish I could have been there, but I didn't want to do anything that would interfere with my bandwidth.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, we even without you, we still had a great time.
Oh, well, I absolutely. And well, I'm just glad. I'm glad everybody tuned in and participated. It was incredibly special. And you know, there's so much cool tech stuff. If we can just grow a little bit, the stuff we can do is almost beyond. It's almost beyond contemplation.
Yep.
All right, Bob. Take care. Good hearing from you.
Okay. You too. Take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye bye.
That's Bob, otherwise known as Lottie, one of the moderators in the chat room. And, hey, we're out of time. Sorry to the folks who are on hold. I solicited calls and didn't get to them all. But you know what? Tomorrow, as Scarlett O'Hara said, is another day. And we'll have another run at it tomorrow evening. Thanks to everybody who helps make this go. Thanks for the purchase order that came in for the love of West Virginia, the beautiful print by our dear friend Diane. Thank you very kindly. I have forwarded that on to her, and hopefully it will be toward you sometime in the very near future. There are some left. That's a great way to help us keep the wolf off the doorstep, and we sincerely need that help. It would be great. It would be wonderful if we could just stop sweating for a little bit and know that we're... Because I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. It's getting harder and harder and harder. You know, usually we say, well, you know, December takes care of January, but we didn't get December taken care of. We really, 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 really do need your help and your support if you're able, and if you're not, I do so truly understand. But thanks to you all for your ideas, your calls, your participation in the chat room, your emails. Your contributions. Thank you to John Fox, Peter Godbold, and Ben Birch. All of this doesn't happen without everything that they have done and continue to do. If you listened to the rally yesterday, you know the important work of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. You know why I call them the bravest, hardest-working people I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Okay, something funny is going on here. Oh, I think the boy's been in here. I got next to no levels at all on my production audio channel. And I'm normal on my mic channel. Yeah, John, it is all kinds of screwed up. And I don't know who's done what right off the top of my head. Dear God. Oh, this is nice. But hey, everybody. Hmm. No, no, John, not that I can see. Just a minute here. All right, that's weird. What have you done, Ferg? What have you done? What have you done? What have you done? Nope. Okay. Nothing appears out of... I noticed this last night, but I did. I thought it was anomalous. I was listening to Malloy and couldn't hardly get any audio out of this channel. Oh, this is annoying. This is really, really annoying. No? Nope, that's not it either. Well, shoot, folks. Let me look at that right now. I'm sorry to do this to you. I mean, I had a little opening rant all ready to go, and then everything, as usual, went freaking sideways. something muy strange going on. Yeah, John, Mike is normal. It's that stereo channel that's squirreled. And let's just have a look. Ah, there we go. Hey, just for the fun of it, let's check this again. Hold on. Yeah, okay, I think we're fixed. But God only knows why it got that way. Ugh, what a way to start a show, but at least at least we're rolling. And we're rolling on this Tuesday, December the 8th. Merciful God. Do they? No, they don't deal with this kind of stuff in the real broadcast world, because the real broadcast world has real broadcast might. But, you know, we're not going to start down that road this evening. No, 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 no. It was what a day yesterday was. Yeah, the PC isn't it? No, I don't think it's the PC being noisy. I think it's a connection somewhere bad. It's a bad cord or something. But let's pull that back and get rid of the noise. Yeah. But anyway, we're cooking. We're here. Sorry for the weird start. I didn't have any intention of having a weird start, but you know, sometimes these things happen. But it is Tuesday. It's December the 8th, 2009. Yesterday, the 7th of December, in Charleston, at the headquarters of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting. I mean, protection. I mean, that's what protection. You're kidding, right? Yeah. No, that's what they call themselves. It was an amazing time. We had a couple of 300 people there, and the coal thugs were kept at bay and at a distance. I have sent the audio over to Ben Birch, who will be getting it posted if he hasn't already. And John Fox has been kind enough to clean up some of the audio. It was, as usual, one of those situations where you don't know what you're getting until the very last minute. Nobody's fault. But we did manage to get on the air, and we did it with a cell phone and a little tiny audio interface and a wire and a netbook computer. How's that for economical, huh? Oh yeah, we squeeze every last penny here until Abraham Lincoln screams bloody murder. That's probably not very tasteful when you're talking about Abraham Lincoln, but whatever, you know what I mean. And the beautiful part of it was the extended response that we had via the horn family. and folks Facebooking and tweeting information all over. Apparently, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection was absolutely slammed with your phone calls, and I thank you very kindly for them. It was it made it so much bigger than it already was. Yeah. And so I don't know what's next. We're going to try to keep the pressure up. You can always keep the pressure up by persisting in calling the WVDEP. They're easy to find on the internet. WVDEP.org, I believe, is the web address, and there's a phone number there, and go get them. But, of course, Copenhagen has begun, the climate conference there. And, you know, in the lead-up to this thing beginning, this conference beginning, the right-wing skullduggery is just through the roof. You know, welcome to the Nixon administration. I don't know, now I'm not talking about Obama, but I'm talking about the tactics. I don't know who's responsible for this break-in in Vancouver, but I was talking with Ben Birch, and he was like, you know, this is a plumber's operation. This is straight out of the Nixon playbook. You know, everybody wants to talk about Climategate. Well, the hacked emails show that it's all a fraud. Maybe it's just me, but has anybody bothered to take a look at the fact that these emails were stolen? And being as they were stolen, they were subject to modification. Who knows what's in there? Who knows what the hackers did? Because they were obtained dishonestly. It was a computer burglary. It wasn't an act of patriotism or heroism. It was a very well-funded operation, as was the operation in Canada. Somebody paid to have this done. And it would be nice to trail the money back and find out whether it was ExxonMobil or Massey Energy or Don Blankenship or whomever that ordered this kind of stuff. We don't know. But since whoever did it has a hand in trying to discredit the science, the real science behind global climate change, you got to figure it's probably not Greenpeace. It's probably not the Sierra Club. It's most likely not a big environmental outfit. No. This is the kind of cloak and dagger, still dark and still of the night, skullduggery that is most frequently engaged in by corporate crooks. And in light of the fact that ExxonMobil has paid for a ton, an absolute ton, of climate change denial, I think it's a good place to start, a good place to begin looking. But so that's one of the things that's on tap for this evening. Your calls, our conversation, of course, is central to all of this. And so I hope you will participate. I said we wouldn't go there, but we'll go there. It is the 8th day of December. We are trying to make it through December. We didn't raise the funds in November to make it through December, but we will try to muddle through. We need help here. You know, things like going to cover this rally. There aren't any local stations that are giving away gasoline these days. And the food isn't free either. And so just by way of a reminder, this stuff does take money to go and do. It takes money to run this network, and it takes money to get down the mountain and go to where we need to be. We were the only live coverage there yesterday. Now, there were a lot of people taping and a lot of people videoing and a lot of people thising and thatting, but we were the only ones who were live. And there is an immediacy to being live and a reality to being live that something that is captured and posted after the fact just can't match. But we can't do this without significant help. And thanks to so many of you who, dollar by dollar, PayPal by PayPal, helped to keep us on the air. But we do sincerely need a lot of help, because we dug the hole a little bit deeper last month, and now just getting to December 31st is going to be like running with blood in your lungs. And January is just January? What's January? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there we are. It's about 12 minutes past the hour. An anniversary is marked this evening. It was 29 years ago. It was 29 years ago. It'll be a couple of hours from now. But, and this is I think this had a lot to do with me continuing to pursue radio. Those of you of a certain age will know what UPI was and AP, and you will know what a teletype was. Kind of like the internet, only with paper and a typewriter. It was December the 8th when and there was an alarm system on the UPI machine. It was a great big nasty inky thing, and you just prayed that you weren't the guy who had to change the ribbon on your shift, because it was just a nasty. You hate copier toner? Oh no! Until you've changed the ribbon on a really really ancient UPI machine, you haven't lived. I mean, you just look like a walking stamp pad. Okay, you get inked. But it was December the 8th, 1980. I was working in a little gospel radio station in northwest Alabama. And there is a system of alarm bells, or was, on the UPI teletype. And when it was really, really serious, it would send, you know, there was one bell, there was two bells, three bells, four bells, five bells. And I swear, I think they sent seven bells that night, December the 8th, 1980. And when I heard that, you know, and in your head, when you count them, at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, holy crap, because, you know, as the number goes up, somebody's launched the nuclear strike. But I walked around the corner into the dimly lit hallway of the station, away outside the broadcast studio, and I simply saw John Lennon shot. Yeah. And I pulled each piece of copy, and I saved it, and it's somewhere in a box somewhere out in one of our storage buildings. And John Lennon was murdered that night. They renamed the area of Central Park across from the Dakota complex where he was shot and where he lived, they renamed it Strawberry Fields. And people still go there, and they still try to leave some sort of a tribute. And it's hard to believe that was 29 years ago this evening. Being there, being part of, having the live information come to you before anybody else got it, was somehow energizing. It was and I hate to say it about such a sad topic, but it was exciting. Now, bear in mind that this was a fundamentalist radio station, and I was forbidden, at pain of losing my job, from even mentioning the murder of John Lennon, because after all, he was a demon in human form. But there was something about that process, you know. So you've got this earth-shattering news that you're not allowed to share, and instead you have to cue it up, and here's the Happy Goodman family with Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. Get out of the way, because Merlene Goodman's got her big hair going today, brethren and sistren. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe a little bit of John Lennon, a little bit of Beatles throughout the evening. a break here and a break there, if you wish. That and a whole lot more. A little declaration coming from the fine and saintly folks at the Roman Catholic Church. For those of you in the audience who happen to be gay, yeah, we'll get to that too, promise. Not going to let this one slide by. I didn't get to it on Friday and felt bad enough about that as it was. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
I still miss him.
Yeah, me too.
I think he would have a lot to say to me. A whole lot.
Oh, I do too, Susan. I think there would be an abundant... Well, can you imagine him sitting still? I mean, what would he have done during the Iraq War? What would he have done during... how would he have responded to Barack Obama last week saying that, you know, we're going to keep playing in the Afghan meat grinder?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I remember about those teletype belts. You only get that many bells when...
Yeah, when something awful was happening, there were never seven good news bells.
Yeah, assassinations. It's always assassinations, or invasions. It's never something good. It's never something wonderful. It's always something catastrophic.
Yeah. And that felt pretty, and for somebody, you know, for somebody my age, you know, that was 1980. I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school. And that was like a kick in the gut.
Well, for me, it was a major kick in the gut because I was one of the generation that was, I was a Beatle people.
Yeah.
I waited out in, for hours outside of the security fence outside of SeaTac Airport when I was a teenager. And in the 60s, you know, when they were still touring. When they were still together.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. That night in December 1980, that was when any hope of the... Because hope sprung eternal that someday the Beatles would reunite.
Yeah.
Well, Mark David Chapman took care of that.
Yeah. The Beatles produced two geniuses, and both of them are dead. John Lennon and George Harrison.
Yep. And it most,
there's something about musical genius. For some reason, they don't live very long.
But the art itself does, and that is the beautiful thing about art.
That lives on forever, yeah. As far as the, to go back to the emails that were hacked, these guys really shouldn't want to go there.
But?
Because, let's face it. The Republicans as a set are tenfold a regimented mindset. They don't really... You know, think that way. Democrats being more of a freewheeling sort, we produce better hackers. They really don't want to piss us off.
But that's the thing. We don't need to resort to criminal misconduct. Because the criminal misconduct that's already been resorted to is more than enough. It's criminal misconduct that has led us to this place where we are, where the planet is so thoroughly imperiled, Susan.
No.
I mean, if you were listening yesterday, as Robert Kennedy Jr. laid out chapter and verse, the crimes that constitute mountaintop removal and the burning of coal for power generation in this country, there's not a doubt left. And the only response the other side has is, yeah, but I get paid to do it.
Yeah. Well, they paid the guys that, well, no, that's a bad analogy, supposedly. But personally, I think it's a real good one. They paid the guys at Dachau, too.
Well, one of the seminal moments yesterday was when RFK Jr. said, if somebody used ammonium nitrate explosives on your community every day and bombed you relentlessly, what would you call those people? And 300 voices at the same time screamed, terrorists.
Yeah.
And if they poisoned your children with mercury to the point that they literally dumbed your children down and they did it intentionally and knowing what mercury does, and they were remorseless, what would you call those terrorists?
Well, funny, they already done it. I blame the coal company, the coal industry, for my husband's asthma.
Yeah.
Part of his COPD is a real nice case of the asthma. And the coal industry is responsible for a massive upsurge in the asthma rate in this country. I blame the coal industry for my children not being as smart as they could have been, even though they are very smart. They could have been a lot smarter.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, we've been burning coal for energy for how long? And most of that was utterly unregulated, and it's still largely unregulated. And how many IQ points have we lost per generation?
I can forgive them in the 19th century because they didn't know better.
Well, they weren't really burning it for electricity. They weren't really burning it for electricity in the 19th century.
Yeah, I know. I can forgive them in the first part of the 20th century because they didn't really know better. The last part of the 20th century, they damn sure knew better.
Well, that's why I said it is an ongoing criminal enterprise. Because there is evidence to suggest that they doggone well did know what they were doing in the early part of the 20th century. Go back to that quote. Was it Reverbo who shared it with us? I don't recall. But that quote from Thomas Edison in the early part of the 20th century saying, you know, I hope a few years from now we're still not burning coal like this. This is the dumbest way to get electricity I've ever seen. He knew long ago. You know, I kind of missed one. I posted it on my Facebook page that, you know, I'd sort of let one slide. But exactly a month ago, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection issued a report. Now, that report, Susan, was generated by virtue of a command from Randy Huffman, who is the embodiment of incompetence. But he commanded that a study be done by the WVDEP of all coal ash dams in West Virginia. Okay? Because of what happened almost a year ago at Kingston, Tennessee. Well, okay, so they went out to try to do it. Now, bear in mind that the DEP is charged with monitoring these dams. Get this. In the course of inspecting these dams, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, remember protection, found two dams that it didn't even know existed. And of the dams they inspected, two of them were in unsatisfactory condition, and three of them were in poor condition. Now, how did they get that way? They got that way because the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection doesn't do its job. You know, it's 100 people short in the area that serves southern West Virginia. It's 100 people short, and the governor of this state has said, well, I ain't going to replace them or nothing. Because he doesn't want them there. He doesn't want them to do their job.
No.
You know, so who do we drag out of bed and bring the tar and feathers to when one of those coal ash dams fails? Who do we do that with? I'm speaking figuratively, of course.
I really would like to know, because there are times when I would I have to tell you, there are times when I think maybe that's what it's going to take, is to literally do it.
No, we can't. No, because
we can't.
We are not barbarians.
We're better than them.
Yeah.
We're better than them. We can't do that.
This has to be. It always has to be nonviolent.
Oh, I can sure think it. Think about it and dream about it.
I know.
I only hope that their karma, whatever it is, comes back on them and just stomps them flat.
You can, yeah, and you are free to hope that.
Yeah. Yeah, every time I think of Marsh Fork or any of the other dams, and I think, those people are just sitting there and they know it's going to fail. And they don't care. They don't care.
No. They care as long as there are profits being made. If something like that was to get in the way of Appalachian Power in the case of coal ash dams, or get in the way of Massey Energy in the case of anything else, whether it be Marsh Fork or Grushy Fork or any of those dams, if that got in the way of profit making, they'd care. Understand? I mean, let's not make too broad a statement. If it interfered with the profit process, they would care. If on the other hand, 1,000 people die the instant that the Grushy Fork impoundment fails, and I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say when, because it's man-made and therefore flawed and doomed to fail. And when that does, and 1,000 people die, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection will say, well, they told us it was safe. When at the same time we look at them and go, you dumbasses, you let them blast 200 feet within 200 feet of that dam. What were you thinking?
You know what I would like to see? I know it's not going to happen because it's unconstitutional, but I would love to see it. I would like to see those people being forced to live just downstream from those dams. Well, of course, you can't force them because it's unconstitutional, but I would like to see them, for a week, 2 weeks, force them to stay there and say, guys, for the next week or a month, you better pray. Pray. It doesn't rain. Or pray. There isn't any blasting. Or pray, God doesn't decide to cause a little grain of sand to go down and cause the others to come down. Because you will be the first one to go.
Yep.
Maybe that would get it through their heads.
But understand, Susan, they will never live there, okay? They won't. They don't live near the mess they make. All those knuckleheads and idiots and chowder brains from the mountain removal thugs who showed up yesterday, they don't live. They don't live in Whitesville. They don't live.
I understand that.
They don't live in Clear Fork or no. They live far, far away from the hell they raise. And therefore, they don't care.
They would have to be forced.
Pardon?
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. They would have to be forced. It would have to be kind of the type of thing where, okay, your sentence here is, you get to stay there for a month. I realize it's never going to happen. But, it would be fun to make them sweat it out for a month. even if, you know, nothing would probably happen, but even if it made them sweat blood and maybe made them think, it would be a nice thing. But of course, it won't happen. Too bad. Because until, because these people do not live in the at-risk areas, what do they care?
Right. That's the whole point. You know, when that impoundment finally does go, you know, you know where Don Blankenship will be, Susan. He'll be bunkered down, surrounded by lawyers, hooting "Act of God" like a murder of crows.
He'll be in France, probably, or someplace like that, or on the Riviera, or in Monaco. You know, visiting the casinos. I doubt if he'll even be in the country. Because that way he won't have to be bothered by the press.
Well, yeah, you're getting a response from our buddy Lee in the chat room. He says, "Dear News Ninja, it ain't never ever gonna happen, including the caring part."
Of course it's not.
So since we cannot impose morality on these monsters, the only solution is to stop it altogether. Now, do I want them to starve, and do I want their sort of orange colored wives to have to give up their tanning beds? No.
Orange colored.
Well, yeah, they've got these tanning beds, and they get their nails done regularly, and you know, the Massey wives are worse by a factor of 100 than the Massey men, and that's because they've got a lot invested in this. They've got this sort of orange color to them from the tanning beds. And when the bulbs start going, they get kind of stripy too. But you know, never mind. Who the hell am I? But you know, I don't want them to give up their tanning beds and their nail sessions. I don't want them to go hungry. Whether they realize it or not, I do realize that they're West Virginians, they're Appalachian people just like me. And I don't want my family going hungry, and I don't want their family going hungry. I want them to have work. You know, there's a story out there, Susan, and I'm glad you sort of opened this door for me. There's a story out there about what is being called cash for caulkers. Are you familiar with this? That they want to take some of the leftover stimulus money and start providing means for people to weatherize their homes and create jobs that way. And I say, great, go for it.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, when you look at what's left over, if you took a big chunk of that, and you sent it to Appalachia, and you created a program whereby we, A, acknowledge that the coal companies will never do what they're supposed to do in the form of reclamation. If you recognize that, and you shut down the mountaintop removal altogether, and you say to all the out-of-work dozer operators, because they're not miners, they're dozer operators, they're heavy equipment operators,
mm-hmm.
They ain't miners. If you say to them, okay, look, you're out of work, but you're not out of work. We've got work for you to do for the rest of your natural lives until you see fit to retire. And we're going to pay you the same amount of money, and you're going to have the same benefits. Because this would all fall under Davis-Bacon as a public works project, and therefore, you know, it would pay prevailing wage, which would be really good money. And say, okay, you know, put those damn things in reverse and start cleaning up the mess you made. We would have 100% employment of every former mountain remover in this state and in Appalachia. And the fact of the matter is, there's a bunch of them who aren't working right now, not because of a bunch of tree huggers, but because they use the market, the slugs like Don Blankenship use so-called market forces to put people out of work. Because they don't think that the price of coal is high enough to suit them.
Which is one of the most despicable things. Because he's doing it for political reasons. He's not doing it for economic reasons.
Right.
Yeah, that's just utterly despicable. On a final note, here in Oregon we have, a temperate climate. Want to know what we got down to last night?
17?
15.
You don't think I watch the weather, do you?
Well, actually, it was 15 at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that was when I, at 12 o'clock at night, I should say, and that's when I went to bed. It probably dropped some.
Yeah. But no, it's been, you know, I watched the Civil War, you know, the Oregon State-Oregon game, and it was obvious there was plenty of cold people in them stands.
Well, that was before the cold snap hit.
Oh, I know. And now this thing that's blowing eastward with blizzard conditions, oh, God, I'm scared to death. I won't have a roof. I mean, you think I'm kidding.
I'm just getting hammered. Well, I'm not. I don't think you're kidding at all because I've seen what in Iowa.
Yeah, and the last wind.
I wanted to ask you.
I was going to say, the last wind that blew through, we had shingles that were standing straight up on the roof.
Ouch. That's bad. Hopefully, most of the wind will, you know, dissipate on the Great Plains.
Yeah.
Great Plains being good for wind. You know what I just did today?
What's that?
I went and blew $700.
On?
On glasses.
Hooray!
Glasses.
That's not a bad thing.
I hate doing that. I really do.
Yeah, but being able to see is a real bonus.
Yeah, I know. I let it go for several years because, you know, I know it's going to really, really hurt. And so, yeah, it really hurts. And, you know, I don't get expensive frames or anything like that. It's just, yikes. Glasses are expensive.
Oh, yes, they are. And made more so. Well, it's kind of like dentistry. You know, that's another one of the failings that's in all of this healthcare debate. We have this ongoing discussion about how we're going to make it okay for the insurance companies, but we don't talk about two of the most essential things that are that involve human health, and that is dentition and vision.
Mm-hmm.
The coverage is miserable.
One other thing.
Yeah, podiatry?
Hearing.
Oh, hearing, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Donald, during the Korean War, he didn't have a choice. When you're in the Army, you go where you're sent, and you sleep where you're told to, and so on and so forth.
Right, and lots of things in the make big, bad, nasty noises.
Well, he was told to lay down and sleep, so he did, and where they told him to was right next to a mile and a half of 155 long toms, which proceeded to all go off.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Operation called Operation Thunderbolt, which the Army now claims that they can't prove that he was anywhere near, so they're not going to pay for his hearing loss. Oh, gotta love it. They had this big fire.
Oh, I know about the big fire. The big fire in St. Louis?
Yeah, the thing is, they claim, anytime they don't want to pay a claim, they say, your records were in that fire.
General Grant's records were in that fire. There were records in that fire of veterans who weren't born yet. I mean, everything. It's the most convenient excuse. It's such a convenient excuse for the VA that you wonder if maybe somebody didn't walk in with a match.
Yeah.
I mean, and see, it's really frustrating even for people who don't necessarily want to, not pursuing benefits or anything, but I went trying to find out the details of my father's brother's last days. just yeah. because I wanted to put that together for the sake of posterity. Yeah, not after him lying or anything. After history.
Because this guy's dead. It's not like you can get any benefit.
Because, it was the Second World War, and details were sketchy, and things were gotten wrong. You know, when you've got that many people involved in that big an operation. And we just wanted to clear up some questions. Because, among other things, when they sent him back, my grandmother looked at him and said, "That's not him." And so there's always been this little lingering,
Well, there's a way around that.
Ain't going to dig him up.
Well, in that case, then you're SOL.
Right.
Got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Agnes get something in the mail recently?
Agnes did. And is just tickled silly. Yeah. She has been doling out little cups to herself judiciously, making it last.
Well, now she doesn't need to dole because she has lots.
Oh, no. That doesn't. No. Agnes has a squirrel gene, Susan. There's no such thing as lots of anything. There's always stuff to be put back for a rainy day.
In case people are wondering, tell them to go to the Republic of Tea website and check out a tea called Comfort and Joy. I recommend it.
Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you.